Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. You may be seated. I'll ask Pastor Kent to introduce Jeff.
All right, and Pastor Swanson, he'll be able to share a lot more with you about what he's been doing over the course of the last several years, and a big part of that is going to be shared during the Adult Sunday School Hour, and so I would invite, of course, all of you adults and some of the teenagers, if you're able to come in to take part in that, please do. But I first got to know Pastor Jeff, it's been a long time ago. I think back to early 2002, when I moved to DeKalb, Illinois, and Pastor Swanson was sharing in a congregation, only about 45 minutes away. And so we were part of the same district for a little bit until he took the call up to the frontier, right? And he's been up there serving for a long time, and only recently have relocated back to Kansas, but is still doing a lot of work overseeing the Alaska mission. And so again, I think you'll enjoy hearing from him. As you can see, throughout this week, he's going to be sharing with us about the supremacy of Christ. And you can see the title of this morning's message that he's going to share. But thank you, Pastor Swanson, for being with us. Please come forward and share God's word with us.
Thank you, Ken. Good morning. Very good to be with you this morning. Hope the microphone's working all right. These things don't fit around my ear real well, but great to be with you. What an exciting morning to be in this church today. I've never heard a noisy offering. That was really noisy. That was exciting, and great puppet show and the children, and there's already been a lot of wonderful things going on. It's great to be here this morning and to be a part of all that, and look forward to sharing throughout the week on the supremacy of Christ. We really want to focus on Jesus this week, and we'll begin that with this morning's message from Philippians chapter 3. Before I begin, I want to just say thank you for the opportunity to come here to Beulah and to share God's word this week. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about the ministry in Alaska as well. And as Pastor Kent said, we'll be sharing some pictures and kind of an overview of the ministry in Alaska that Jane, my wife, and I were a part of for the last 15 years in Naknek. And so thank you for the opportunity to share that as well. And then thank you for your congregation's part in the ministry in Alaska. I know that a number of you have been to Alaska and been a part of the ministry in Naknek and have helped out in various ways. So a big thank you for all of that. Let's get to the Word of God today. As I was thinking about coming to share with you this week, I was started to read through the book of 1 Corinthians, and I came upon chapter 2, verse 2, where the Apostle Paul said, "I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And God really impressed that upon my mind and upon my heart, and that's what I want to do this week as we're here in Beulah. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We're going to focus on the supremacy and the excellency of Jesus Christ. That's about as good a theme as we could have, isn't it? To focus on the supremacy the excellency of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. One man who knew of that great supremacy and excellency was the Apostle Paul. And we just had our text read, and that's what I'll be preaching from here, from Philippians chapter 3, especially focusing on verse 8, where I want to read that again. Paul said, "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity together today to worship you in many ways that we already have in this service. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to consider it together as well. We pray, Father, for the leading, the inspiring, the help of the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and our lives today. Bless this time in the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share about three people who knew all about the supremacy and the excellency of Christ, the surpassing value of knowing Christ. In just a moment, we're going to get to the third one, which is the Apostle Paul, and we're going to look at this text. But I wanted to share two quick stories with you before. One of those who really, in my opinion, kind of studying his life, knew and appreciated the excellency of Christ was a great evangelist of another generation. His name was Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith had a wonderful conversion to Christ, and he became a preacher of the gospel and traveled extensively throughout his life, preaching of the excellency of Christ and calling people to come to a personal living relationship with Jesus Christ. He kept on preaching until he was well into his 80s, and he was a real fireball. He was excited, and he was zealous and just full of life. And in his late 80s, somebody came to him and they said, "How is it that you maintain such enthusiasm after all of these years and preaching the same message over and over again? How is it that you're still so zealous, still so excited, still so enthused about the gospel of Jesus?" And he said, "Well, it's a secret that I have." He says, "I never lost the wonder. I never lost the wonder." And I wonder today, have you known the wonder of Jesus? The fact that Jesus Christ came from heaven, lived a perfect life that we could never live, died in our place on the cross, rose again from the grave, gave us many promises to live our lives by, promised to come again, promised that he's preparing a home in heaven for us. Do you know the wonder of knowing Jesus? Have you lost the wonder? I often think of that with Gypsy Smith. He never lost the wonder. I pray that we would recapture the wonder of Jesus, the wonder of the gospel, again this week together, and that we'd be able to say, "I never lost the wonder." Another one that had that great wonder, and if you'll forgive me, I'm going to read a couple paragraphs from a sermon. There was a fellow by the name of S.M. Lockridge. Maybe some of you are familiar with this sermon. I don't know. S.M. Lockridge was a pastor in San Diego from 1953 to 1993. His name, S.M. Lockridge, anybody know what S.M. stood for? Shadrach Meshach. That was his name, Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. He's famous for a number of sermons that he gave, but this one in particular, it's a sermon called "That's My King." See if you don't get a sense of the fact that S.M. Lockridge never lost the wonder of Jesus, and that he really recognized the supremacy, the excellency of Christ, and the surpassing value to everything of knowing Jesus. Here's a little part of the sermon called "That's My King" that S.M. Lockridge preached back in 1976. He said, "My king was born king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews, that's an ethnic king. He's the king of Israel, that's a national king. He's the king of righteousness, he's the king of ages, he's the king of heaven, he's the king of glory, he's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. He's enduringly strong, he's entirely sincere, he's eternally steadfast, he's immortally graceful, he's imperially powerful, he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the almighty God who guides and keeps all his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. That's my king. Do you know him? Well, my king is the king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislature. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings, and he's the lord of lords. That's my king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. That's my king. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible, and he's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you this, that the heavens of heaven can't contain him, let alone some man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind, and you can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He's always been. He'll always will be. I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor. He'll have no successor. There's nobody before him. There'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. That's my king. I think S.M. Lockridge had a sense of the excellency of Christ, of the supremacy of Christ, of the fact that Jesus is greater than all. He's the surpassing value of all things. Well, that's just a couple of little testimonies of Gypsy Smith and of S.M. Lockridge, but I want to talk about what the Apostle Paul had to say today about Jesus Christ. We're looking now at Philippians chapter 3, 1 through 8. There's a very clear theme in this passage. I find it in verse 3. It says, "We are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." And I would just give the theme to this passage of Scripture as simply this: glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. And if you tone out or zone out today and don't hear anything else that's said, I want you to hear that word from verse 3 today. Glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. That's all the sermon we need today, isn't it? Glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. The text begins here in verse 1, Philippians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. That's an interesting theme in the book of Philippians. Paul repeats it in verse 4, where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord. There's a message just in that today, as Paul begins to unfold the glory of Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, the amazing thing about that statement is that it comes in the middle of the book of Philippians, which, if you know, was a prison epistle. Paul wrote this from prison. Paul wrote this when he was in dire circumstances, when he was in a dark place, a difficult place in his life. And yet, in the midst of that difficult time in his life, he's saying, "Rejoice in the Lord." That itself is a wonderful message to us today. We can always rejoice in the Lord. That's why Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Because when everything else is falling apart in our life, when everything else is just no good throughout our life, the Lord is still there. And the Lord is still the same. His promises are still sure. His finished work on the cross of Calvary still stands. You can always rejoice in the Lord. And maybe somebody needs to hear that today. Things are not going well in your life. But today, even in the midst of whatever you're going through, rejoice in the Lord. Because the Lord never changes. His word never changes. His promises are ever sure. You can always rejoice in the Lord. And so our text begins with that. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." And that is worth repeating. Notice what Paul says. "To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard to you." Paul is going to repeat that again and again from prison. Rejoice in the Lord. We always have something to rejoice in. Or maybe better yet, we'd say we always have someone to rejoice in. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you, always has, always will. Died on the cross for your sins. That eternal truth remains. There's always someone to to rejoice in Jesus. Remember that from God's Word today. Second thing that is very prominent in this text is this statement, put no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Put your faith in the Lord. And rejoice in the Lord. But put no confidence in the flesh. We need to get our attention off of ourselves and get our attention on the Lord. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Rejoice in the Lord, but put no confidence in your flesh. Now, why is that so important? Here in verse 3, where Paul says, we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. I want to give you a couple of reasons this morning why it's so important to put no confidence in the flesh. First of all, the flesh profits nothing. John 6:63, it says, the Spirit gives life, but the flesh profits nothing. That just means that in and of ourselves, our flesh, our efforts, we can do nothing to merit salvation. We can do nothing to make our way to heaven. We can do nothing to get rid of our sins. Put no confidence in your flesh. It profits nothing, Jesus said in John 6:63. Another reason is because the arm of flesh will fail you. Your own flesh, your own efforts, they will always fail you. I was thinking yesterday of a hymn that I grew up singing. Have you sung Stand Up for Jesus for a while? Doesn't seem like it gets sung very much these days. But remember the second verse? Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Our own flesh, it profits nothing. It will fail us if we attempt to earn our way to heaven, make ourselves right with God, somehow get over our sin or get rid of our sin. The arm of flesh will fail you. The flesh profits nothing. Another reason that we note this phrase from Paul, put no confidence in the flesh, is that it's a very needed word. It's a needed word. It's a reminder, a needed reminder to us that we should not put any confidence in the flesh. It seems to me that we are prone to put confidence in the flesh, prone to want to earn our way to heaven, to please God in some way by the life that we live. Putting no confidence in the flesh really is kind of another way of dealing with the issue of pride and arrogance and self-righteousness and self-goodness. We are prone to that, prone to trust in our flesh, prone to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, to have pride. I was remembering a story about Muhammad Ali. Remember Muhammad Ali, the great boxer? I heard a story about him one time when he was flying on an airplane, and he liked to call himself Superman. And the stewardess came down the aisle and said, sir, you need to put on your seatbelt. And he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. And she was a pretty good stewardess. She just said, Superman don't need no airplane. Buckle up. The foolishness of pride. The foolishness of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. The foolishness of putting confidence in the flesh. Paul said, we put no confidence in the flesh. And yet we're prone to do that. I remember before I went to seminary, I was working for a grain elevator in Kansas. And I was delivering hog feed and cattle feed. And it was a great year that Jane and I spent there. And I would go out and deliver cattle feed to the farmers. And while we were augering off the feed, I'd talk and I would witness to some of the farmers. And there was one guy in particular. And I was talking to him about his relationship with God. And he said, well, you know, he said, I think I'm doing pretty good. He said, I think I measure up pretty good. He says, I don't swear as much as most of my neighbors. I don't get drunk as often as most of my neighbors. Yeah, I think I'm doing pretty good with the big guy. What a sad statement. What a wrong statement. Putting confidence in the flesh. That's what it sounds like when we put our confidence in the flesh. We say, I'm doing pretty good. I'm better than average. When I compare myself with others, I'm all right. But the Word of God says, put no confidence in the flesh. Paul is addressing here, as we look again back to Philippians chapter 3, Paul is addressing the error of the Judaizers, or the Jewish people that didn't want to just trust in Jesus, but they wanted to continue to trust in their Jewish heritage, in keeping the Old Testament law, even in terms of being circumcised and so on. That's why he says in verse 2, beware of the dogs. Pretty harsh. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. Those who are trusting in their Jewishness, those who are trusting in their attempts to keep the law, those who are trusting in their circumcision. And he says, beware of those dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Paul says that was even a danger for himself. Notice what he says in verses 4 through 6. He says, so he's kind of talking here, if anybody's going to put confidence in the flesh, if anybody wants to boast about their who they are or what they've done or what they've accomplished, he said, it would be me. That's what Paul says. Listen to verse 4 through 6. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Look at that, verses 4 through 6. Quite a list that Paul could say, if anybody's going to boast in their flesh, it would be me. I am the Jew of Jews. I all these things he lists, these are his accomplishments. And yet he says, we put no confidence in the flesh. And so may we learn that from God's word today. That simple phrase, put no confidence in the flesh. Don't trust yourselves. Don't trust in yourselves, in your good deeds, in your works, in your good life. Glory in Christ Jesus. Glory in Christ Jesus. And why is that? Why should we glory in Christ Jesus? And this is right out of the scripture once again, where Paul said, we put no confidence in the flesh, but we glory in Christ Jesus. Why do we glory in Christ Jesus? Because he is what S.M. Lockridge said he is. He's the King. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Savior of the world. He's the hope of the world. He's the light of the world. He's the sin bearer for you and for me. He's the only Savior, the only hope. Glory in Christ Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He died for your sins. He rose again from the dead to give you hope, the hope of everlasting life. He's said that he's preparing a home in heaven for you if you're a believer in Christ. He said that he's coming again to take us there as believers. That's why we glory in Christ Jesus, because he's everything. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Savior. He's the hope of the world, the light of the world. And that's why Paul could say in verses 7 and 8 of our text, whatever things were gained to me. This comes right after verses 4 through 6, where he listed all of his life accomplishments. He says in verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. Paul says, all else is loss. Compared to Jesus Christ, compared to knowing Jesus who loved me, died for me, rose again, promises to come again for me, compared to Jesus, everything else is loss. And compared to knowing Jesus, all else is rubbish or dung or manure, depending on which translation you're using. Everything, it's worthless compared to knowing Jesus. And that's why he says there in verse 8 also, everything is loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. The surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. We need to remember the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Too often in this world we value the wrong things. We place great value on things that are of absolutely no value. Paul says the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. Speaking of how we wrongly value things, Jane and I were driving up, we were listening to the radio in the car. About 800 miles we drove from where we live now in Kansas up to here to Beulah. We listened to some on the radio, and one of the stories I heard was about a pair of Levi blue jeans that was found in a mine in New Mexico recently. Did anybody hear about that? They auctioned them off. Did you hear how much those blue jeans brought? 1880s Levi blue jeans, $87,000. They put a lot of value on some old blue jeans. But before we laugh at that and say how foolish, think of all the things that we value in this life. We value things that are going to perish. We place great value and give much of our life to things that have no value eternally. Things that don't matter at all before God. We need to learn from the Apostle Paul. Put no confidence in the flesh. Glory in Christ Jesus. All else is loss in comparison to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus who loved us, died for us, rose for us, coming again for us. Glory in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're going to be talking about this week in the Bible studies tonight. And Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we're going to be talking about the supremacy of Jesus Christ, the excellency of Jesus Christ, the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. Nothing can compare. Let me close this morning with these words from a chorus. You've probably sung it many times in this church, but just hear it again, maybe hear it afresh today as we think of what Paul said. Glory in Christ Jesus. Put no confidence in the flesh. Know the surpassing value of knowing Jesus. This song says this. It was by Graham Kendrick. All I once held dear and built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own, all I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the clear words from your word, from the Apostle Paul today. We put no confidence in the flesh. We glory in Christ Jesus, and we glory in you, Lord Jesus, because of who you are and because of what you've done for us. We look forward to considering that together through the Bible studies this week together. We just want to say together today, along with the Apostle Paul, everything is worthless compared to the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. You're our all, you're the best, you're the joy, you're our righteousness. We love you, Lord. We love you because you first loved us and demonstrated that love, and that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We praise you and we thank you, Lord Jesus. We glory in you today. In Jesus' name, amen.